A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in 3 Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Carry out the law, appoint officials, pardon, make treaties, veto, conduct war, be the commander-in-chief. How long has it been since y'all heard the truth? This is all that our president is supposed to do. He ain't supposed to lead social change in the country. Kinda like a CEO straight making us money in a country that is full of neglect. In a country that he vowed to protect. So let's all stand up for the red, white, and blue. If there's some hate in this country, then that's on me and you. That's why I'm singing this song in a red MAGA hoodie. And on the back it says we'll do it again in 2020. Cause we're taking America, making it great again. Yeah, we're taking America, making it great again. Y'all can try and tear us down, but we're gonna stand up. Keep it real, let you know what's up. I voted for a mayor named Donald J. Trump. Cause when they're playing the anthem, I stand up. I know that half America will too. And we ain't scared of no Kim Jong-un. And if you voted for Hillary, that's cool. Ain't nobody here gonna hate on you. I just wanna keep my freedom, keep the kids in church. And I love it when our leader lets us know that it's
America first.
Put your hands up.
Get that son of a
bitch. For Donald J. Trump.
Fire.
Everybody stand up. Stand up for Donald J. Trump.
Separate. Church and the state, and God we trust is on our money, and they can't take that away. Wait, they try and take our guns, took prayer out of school. I take it back. One day they'll probably come for that too. Knowing Trump ain't perfect, I know he's made some mistakes, like how he goes off on people on his Twitter page. But if you believe that all of this change is the worst, and you love where you're from, then put America first. Because he saved our economy and he's helping us win. If you believe in indifferent, you're watching CNN.
Cause we're taking America, making it great again. Yeah, we're taking America, making it great again. Y'all can try and tear us down, but we're gonna stand up. Keep it real, let you know what's up. I voted for a mayor named Donald J. Trump. Cause when they're playing the anthem, I stand up. I know that half America will too. And we ain't scared of no Kim Jong-un. And if you voted for Hillary, that's cool. Ain't nobody here gonna hate on you. I just wanna keep my freedom.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues. Thank you for joining us on this Friday for This Week in Bachelor Nation. This is where we're going to give you our state of the world. This is where we're going to give you Bachelor Nation news. This is where we're going to give you the parasocial play of the week. This is where, of course, Shoya from Relationship Hero is going to be joining us in the pit all this season. Our Screams from the Pit are sponsored by Relationship Hero. This is an online service you can go to for any of your relationship needs, whether you're 10 years deep in a relationship, whether you're just dating somebody new and you want to figure out how to make it last, if you got problems in a relationship that you need to solve, or if you just want to make a relationship that you're in that much better, go to relationshiphero.com/GOR right now and you get $50 off your first session with one of their certified relationship coaches.
Maybe you have a problematic relationship with a off-the-wall bachelor conspiracy theory that you won't let go of. Relationship Hero can help you.
How dare you?
I didn't mean to bring up the divergence this early.
We'll be getting to the divergence. Of course, we'll be getting to that divergence. But before we do, we're going to start this episode, as we start all episodes, by discussing the recent news in our country and in the world and showing you how it's related to The Bachelor, and it may have something to do with that opening song we played. This is
Game of Roses, State of the World.
A lot of news going on this week as we are heading into the big American election next week. It's just rapid fire. Shit is happening left and right on massive scales. Police murdered a 27-year-old black man named Walter Wallace in Philadelphia, and the entire event was recorded on video by a bystander. This is just the most recent in a string of cops killing black men.
France is going into their second national lockdown due to COVID.
Five people in Vice President Mike Pence's inner circle have tested positive for COVID, including his chief of staff.
Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, said on Sunday that the U.S. is, quote unquote, not going to control COVID, which might seem like common knowledge, but it signals an open admission of defeat by the White House, as we are seeing the largest numbers yet recorded in several states across the country.
And homophobic Christian zealot Amy Coney Barrett was confirmed and sworn into her lifetime position as a Supreme Court justice this week in what has been one of the most brazen displays of Republican hypocrisy in modern times. And no time is being wasted on erasing women's reproductive rights as the Mississippi Attorney General has already petitioned the Supreme Court to review the state's 15-week abortion ban, a case that directly challenges Roe v. Wade.
Oof. For the next 40 years, Coney Barrett will add an extra conservative vote to all matters that come before the highest court in the land, which seems like overkill, as just before she was sworn in, the Supreme Court sided with Republicans in a 5-3 vote to prevent Wisconsin from counting mailed ballots that are received up to 6 days after Election Day. This is clear proof that the Supreme Court will be siding with Republicans on all election-related legal disputes that are soon to appear before them.
And in environmental news, two new massive fires have broken out in Orange County, California, burning nearly 30,000 acres and forcing 100,000 people to be evacuated. Good luck, Orange County.
The morning radio voice is perfect for climate change.
This is how I perceive the news to be being told to me. It's just like smiling talking heads fucking shitting out new facts about how many people are dead and being murdered and how shitty the world is. All that said, certainly all this shit is important to understand. This is the context that sets the scene as we are heading into this election next Tuesday. This is the most important election in a generation. And again, this is what the world is like as we're all choosing who is going to lead us into the future. What kind of country, what kind of world we want to be living in.
Yeah. What is the bigger nation outside of Bachelor Nation looking like?
But the thing we wanted to focus on is a piece of national political news that ties directly into The Bachelor. If you listened to the show before, you know our main thesis. Reality TV is more than just a frivolous guilty pleasure. It's actually the most accurate reflection of American life and culture, and it's intertwined with American politics on a fundamental level, especially now that we have a reality TV show host as the president who has driven our country into the ground for 4 years. And so you know at this point, in our State of the World segment, we highlight a piece of national or global news that is evidence of that thesis. And some people might think these things are stretches or like we're trying too hard to find a connection. But what happened this week requires no stretching, no connections to be drawn.
The connection is there, one-to-one.
It is simply an event that signifies exactly what we've been saying all along. America is a fucking reality show. The current sitting president of the United States this week retweeted a music video made by a fucking Bachelor player. I will say this again. Donald Trump retweeted a fucking Bachelor player. The retweet was of a cut-down version of James McCoy Taylor's music video for his original song, Great Again, which we played at the top of this in its fucking entirety.
Not a Clues original, in case you guys were confused.
I had nothing to do with that song. But it's a pro-Trump country pop anthem about Taylor's personal support for Trump. And the cherry on top of this is that in the retweet, whoever made that cut down of the video saw fit to include a clip of the Dark Lord himself at the fucking end of it, Chris Harrison, giving support to Taylor.
In a red hat.
It's a Texas Rangers hat.
Right, but it's red.
It is red and it does have a T on it, but it is technically not a Trump hat. It's the baseball team, the Texas Rangers. That said, this is Donald Trump retweeting a clip of a Bachelor player that also has Chris Harrison in it. James Taylor was a player on season 12 of The Bachelorette, JoJo Fletcher, and he's since kind of developed a noteworthy right-wing social media presence in service of trying to get his music career going. This very video is something that we mentioned in the Parasocial Plays of the Week a few weeks back, and now here it is, yeah, front and center in Donald Trump's Twitter feed.
It wasn't our winner, but maybe it should have been. My favorite line in this song, by the way, is, if you voted for Hillary, that's cool. When it's like, literally, they're talking every day about how she needs to be arrested. James Taylor's fist bumping cops. It is a lot.
But again, this is the president of the United States retweeting a music video by a Bachelor player. It cannot be argued that these things are not the same now. There is simply no way to separate the Bachelor from politics or from the current state of decay in which we all now live. This is America. Donald Trump retweeting a Bachelor player's original country song in support of him.
It's unbelievable. We've never seen anything like this. First Bachelor player to get retweeted by a president in our history.
And it's literally the week before the fucking election. In which, by the way, The Bachelorette is preempted by the election. So not only do we have all of this shit going on, the American political system is affecting The Bachelorette at this weird time when the election's happening Tuesday. That could be our new president coming in. The Bachelorette's happening Thursday. Our new Bachelorette's coming in. I'm not saying these things are directly linked, yeah, but thematically, they certainly are. It's all in our heads. This is a potential time of renewal, hope. Maybe Joe Biden can save America. Maybe Tayshia can save The Bachelorette.
We all were thinking it.
Look, maybe that was the stretch. Maybe I'm now making a stretch, but
you're like, Tayshia is Joe Biden. What is our state of the world going to be next week? That's all I'm thinking about. Are we going to know the election results? Are we not?
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. We hope everybody out there stays safe next Tuesday night and beyond.
You know, if you're planning on voting in person, do it early if your state allows it. Think about doing that. Pitt?
My usual voting experience is pretty pleasant. My usual polling place is right down the street at a retirement community. And you go, you wait in line for maybe 5 or 10 minutes. All the people who live in this retirement community, it's a building. They are all dressed in suits and dresses. All these old people are fucking wandering around the hallways just to talk to you. It's fantastic. You get the feeling that in some way you're doing some strange social service for the people who live in this place because it's like their big day.
Oh, God.
I was very sad that that will probably not be happening. I don't know if that polling place is even open. And I've already voted. And it was the
easiest fucking thing I've ever done. I filled out my thing and there was a drop box a few blocks away. I just ran to that on one of my nightly jogs, popped it in the fucking thing, ran back home. That was it. So hopefully wherever you find yourself, there is an easy access drop box and you can just get it taken care of.
Definitely do that instead of putting it in the mail if it is an option for you. Stay safe out there, Pitt.
And we will be tuned into news as it is happening over the course of the next week. But now it is time for some news of a different kind.
This is Bachelor Nation News.
All this season, we are starting out Bachelor Nation News with a little mini segment where we detail the ratings of The Bachelor at this season, as well as all the movers and shakers in the parasocial world.
This is something we call This Week in Games. The final game of the World Series was on Tuesday this week, competing with our beloved game. It got a 3.1 rating in adults 18 to 49 with 11.8 million total viewers. Congrats to the Dodgers for bringing home the title, and congrats to the LAPD, who got to fire some more rubber bullets at people as their celebrations turned to vandalism. Seems like the LA cops are ready for the upcoming election. I wrote this section, and there was not this police brutality element in it, but
I added it. Somehow it disappeared. I just added it because it seemed germane to the...
I was like, I do not remember this. anyway, the Bachelorette, back to important things. The Bachelorette remains steady with a 1.2 rating in 18 to 49 and 4.4 million total viewers. And as you know, we're charting the Instagram gains of all the players for this season and are highlighting who has the largest gains, how that relates to their play strategy. Keep in mind, we are recording this on Thursday, October 29th. At the time of this recording, here's the players that had the biggest gain from last week when we recorded on October 22nd. Claire gained 34,000. She's now at 712K. These are okay gains for this erratic crown strategy she's playing.
But I think what we predicted is going to bear out. She ain't hitting a million.
Yeah,
because she's gone. This next week, she's excommunicated from the fucking Bachelor world forever. She might be back on after the final rose. Maybe they'll fucking drag her out for mental all. I don't know. But this is it. This is where she's capped.
Yeah.
So she came into this, I think, at 500 and something when they announced her. So she's gotten about a 200K bump total from 5 months of press leading up to this. And then three fucking glorious episodes that are just... insane.
The top five player gains for the men. Number one, of course, Dale Moss gains 50,000 followers this week. That is 328,000 total followers. Dale Moss is absolutely dominating. His double MVP, his single play of the game. This blitzkrieg play style continues to serve him incredibly well in the parasocial game. This is even higher gains than he got last week. The only player who gained more this week than Dale Moss was Tayshia Adams. On October 27th, Tayshia had 865,098 followers. Now she has 924K. That is 58,902,000 Instagram follower gain. She's already passed Rachel Lindsay, who's at 915K. She will be the first Black player to hit 1 million.
I think it's going to happen next week. I think they're going to bring her in and make her the savior of this show. They are going to cast Claire as the villain. We got to get rid of her. She was fucking bringing the show down. Tayshia, come in and be a regular Bachelorette. Date all these guys, kick them off in the order that we want, play nice, play by our rules, and you're going to get your million.
Second up for the male players, Bennett Andrew Jordan gained 28,400 followers this week. He's now at 39.4K for his no-holds-barred roast of Dale Moss. incredible.
This was my play of the game this week, and this is why. He demanded screen time, and that equals followers. We know this to be true. And in the face of someone like Dale Moss, who's getting $50,000 a week, you can't fucking compete with that. You're just trying to dig around and pick up some table scraps from the feast that Dale Moss is enjoying. And here, Bennett finds a nice, juicy pork chop laying on the ground, and he just eats it up. Congrats, Bennett.
Coming in at number three, we had Easy. He gained 13.7K this week. He's now at 34.4K total. Even more gains this week for his colorful narrator role and being the top face player.
And still, these allegations of sexual assault against Easy are not really coming to light. They're floating around. Reality Steve is still talking about them. I think we're going to see this blow up bigger. The story has to progress. Yeah. I don't think it can be tamped down, but as of now, he's still making these gains without any repercussion. That number, though, can't get too big, or I think those allegations come out.
I mean, there's still... He was on Bachelor Happy Hour, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
The Bachelor is clearly not
treating
this way. Maybe they don't want to go and re-edit all their episodes because Easy is narrating the whole goddamn show.
Even beyond the editing, but... though, what you're saying is accurate. Bachelor Happy Hour is a Bachelor-sanctioned production. If they're lining him up to be a guest on it, they're promoting him as like an important person this season. So at this point, ABC is definitely aware of the allegations. They are refusing to investigate. They are refusing to do anything. Mm-hmm. They are saying ignore, 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 which is helpful for Easy.
Number four in gains, Chase and Nick gained 9.8K this week. He's now at 20.3K. I'm not sure what to attribute these gains to. He got a group date rose last week.
I think he seems sympathetic. He seems for TRR. And I think right now, all of these guys are capitalizing a little bit on the victim card, because they're making Claire out to be the villain who's not playing the game correctly, and these guys all showed up hoping for a chance, and now that they don't have one, they're all a little pissed, and I think Chase and Nick is kind of at the top of that victim level. He's in the front running for it, you know? We feel bad for him, and I think that's what is giving him this 10K bump.
And rounding out number five, of course, Blake Moynes gained 8.9K. He's now at 48.2K. He continues to rise for this role as a viable candidate if only Claire would see anyone other than DM, Dale Moss.
And Blake Moynes was not even in the fucking episode really this past week. He's riding on the power of that intangible factor, that thing you gotta have if you're gonna wear the crown. You heard me correctly.
No.
This is bachelor power. He's fucking willing 8,900 Instagram followers to happen to him this week. He did nothing in the game to warrant it, and yet he has it.
Yeah, he's got momentum. That's for sure. Other gains of note, Zachary Johnson gained a solid 8.3K for his questionable one-on-one play this week. And the smallest gain, once again, went to Night One guy, AJ Yalawad, who gained 41 followers.
Who are these 41
AJ,
people?
Holding solid.
If you followed AJ Yalawad this week, reach out to us. Hit us with a DM.
Yeah,
let us know why. But that sums up our week in gains. Good news that The Bachelor is holding its ratings and it's not slipping further. So that means maybe we've hit the bottom. Maybe we'll even see a bump with Tayshia. That would be fantastic if we would see that. I'm hopeful that that's what we're going to get next week. A little rise. But the good news is it's not sinking anymore. Whatever that first week bleed off was seems to be stabilized now. And we're moving forward into an uncertain future in both America and The Bachelorette.
And just a bit of programming news. The Bachelorette next week will be airing on Thursday night, not Tuesday, because of the election. So check your DVRs. Make sure they're okay. Check your loose links wherever you are finding this content.
And as a result, our episodes are going to be flipped. Next Wednesday, you're going to get This Week in Bachelor Nation, which is primarily going to be a state of the world. I have to just say that right up front. We're primarily going to be talking about the election, the biggest event in the world at that point. And then Friday, we're going to be giving you the recap of Thursday's Bachelorette episode. So they will just be reversed. And of course, Monday, if you signed up for our Patreon, you're going to be getting something special.
Monday's episode on the Patreon is going to be a Gore All-Star. And you guys are not going to want to miss it.
We are going to be recapping a rookie season of a certain player who is one of the greats, if not the greatest. I mean, look, we're going to have that argument. Greatest. I don't think this player is the greatest.
I think this player might be the greatest.
This player is in the top three. And now it is time to move on to the rest of Bachelor Nation news. I wanted to start out with our first item. Let's talk about the Phantom Knight 1 and how evidence is mounting. Now, the Phantom Knight 1 is my personal theory that all of the players from this season of Bachelorette shot a night one back at the mansion before COVID lockdown began. They all met each other. Claire met Dale. Then they had to go into lockdown for 5 months. And then they all came back to La Quinta and reshot that night. Some people think this is insane. Some people are fully on board. I thank those people. I will not let it die until I get to the truth of it. I don't know if it happened. But I am digging to find out. I want conclusive evidence one way or another, and I still have found none to support either. But I have found this.
Yeah, what have you found, Clues?
We know the timeline. March 6th, intro videos, production was happening on The Bachelorette. That is conclusive fact. March 7th through 9-ish, Blake Moynes is on a plane sitting next to Kelly Flanagan coming to Los Angeles. She's coming to shoot after the final rose of PP's season. Blake Moynes, why is he coming here? Presumably to shoot The Bachelorette. In a Variety article from October 8th, this is new evidence, Chris Harrison said, "I felt so bad for Claire. We were dressed and ready to go when we had to press the pause button." He's referring to the Phantom Knight 1, essentially. And he's maintaining in this article, dressed and ready to go. That means at the mansion, in your suits, in your cocktail dresses, cameras are fucking rolling, and then they pull the plug. So they've got a full production crew at the mansion. Everyone's ready to go, and I'm expected to believe then they pull the plug? Why wouldn't they just shoot that night? They've already paid for it.
Because they don't want to get sued.
Sued by who?
If they keep shooting and then people get COVID after production has been shut down, I mean, they are by the book. Unions are involved. There's all sorts of stuff involved in these decisions, and a huge production like ABC, they're going to play it safe. I'm sorry, Night One, Phantom Night One did not occur.
That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is... Networks only give a fuck about money. And so the money is spent, night one is paid for. We might as well shoot it and see what happens. Maybe we have to go into lockdown, maybe we fucking don't. They shoot it, that footage exists, and then they're like, fuck, we have to go into lockdown. Either of these is possible. I don't know which is true. I'm just gaming it all out. Another piece of evidence that popped up this week, Jason Tardick was on the Off the Vine podcast where he openly says... they shot a Phantom Knight 1. And then very quickly, Caitlin says, no, that didn't happen. As though she were the mouthpiece of the show. As though she knew this is not something we can say on the podcast. And we now have some more evidence that the show does influence these podcasts because...
You think she's shushing him and then they put it in the episode. Why? If she actually wants to shush him, she would just cut that part out.
It's better to have him say his theory and her to say, that is wrong, fuck you, I think.
Okay.
We know that also Hannah Brown went on her podcast and they had a conversation about how Caitlin would trade saying certain things to get more sleep. She said she never wanted to say that my husband is in this room. The producers did a deal with her where if she said that, she got an extra few hours of sleep the next day. That piece of that podcast... aired and then was cut out a few days later. Why? Because the show fucking came to her and said, get that shit out of your show.
I believe that. That has nothing to do with Phantom Knight 1.
It means that the producers are in contact with the people who do these high-level podcasts, especially the players, and they're controlling what they say, the narratives they spin, especially about producer involvement. Maybe it's circumstantial, maybe it's contextual, but I think it's important. So I brought it up. That's all. We also had Rob Mills, Senior Vice President of Alternative Programming at ABC, who controls The Bachelor. He appeared on the Vial Files this week to spin a web of deceit around the implosion of the show being Claire's fault, and they danced around the issue of A Phantom Night 1 in a purposely careful language that never corroborated or denied it.
I do believe this was Nick Vial sending you a secret message.
I'm not going that far.
I don't believe in A Phantom Night 1, but I think this was intended to go to you.
I'm just saying, all of this to me is proof that this idea of the Phantom Night 1 is not just coming from me. I'm not making this shit up. Jason Tardik's talking about it. Nick Vial is kind of talking about it. Other people are talking about it on other podcasts, and there are two sides to the argument. Again, I don't know which one is accurate. I'm just saying this is not something that is a crazy fucking theory. It's being discussed.
By the way, Clues is saying all the evidence that supports him. We have also received a ton of counter evidence to the Phantom Night 1 theory, but Clues didn't put them in our outline. All the timelines based on actual evidence suggest that it never happened. Reality Steve is saying it never happened. How often is he wrong? Almost never.
Almost never. And first of all, look, none of this evidence can be corroborated. Even the evidence you're claiming exists to the contrary. We can't.
I mean, this is just like, you know, what is it? Occam's razor. The most likely thing is probably the thing that's true. And you think the most likely thing is that they staged this whole cover up of a gigantic Night One production and then they had to muzzle everyone?
I just have to say, if you're going to bring up Occam's razor, you have to fucking throw it out the window with The Bachelor. This is the same show that had fucking Victoria Fuller go to a date where it's a private performance by a man she had sex with. They set all of that up. This is the same show that is now pushing Claire out, that is manipulating her into destroying the fucking show. Yes, they're capable of anything.
That's fair. That is fair. They have done that this season. But I think manipulating Claire and the guys to revolt and stuff is a lot easier than allowing no evidence of A Phantom Night 1 to get out there. When it's a huge production, you have to set up the grandees, you have to get all the caterers, you gotta, there's a shit, hundreds of people work on the show.
It's a fucking cult. It's like how Nexium can fucking silence people. Not only do they make you sign contracts at your own peril if you break them to the tune of being sued for fucking millions of dollars. Luke P. just lost one. He has to pay them $100,000 because he just went on a podcast and talked about shit. You're telling me they couldn't clamp those fuckers down? As soon as they have that Phantom Night 1 footage and they're like, we're not using this, the next day contracts go out, sign this shit, and it says we get to fucking kill you and eat your heart if you fucking say anything. Whatever it is.
That's just Occam's razor.
Yeah, all things being equal,
they
that's
send
most
out contracts
likely.
That said we'll eat your heart. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, that just makes the most sense.
Of course.
Jesus fucking Christ. Also, I'm sorry I didn't prepare a presentation of counter evidence to this. Clues is spending all of his time trying to confirm this theory, and I am living my life.
Look, I'm about that pit lifestyle, you know? I just get down here and dig. Sometimes I fall asleep. That's the only other thing I do. Every once in a while, I fall asleep accidentally. Other than that, I'm just in the pit digging.
What's our next piece of Bachelor Nation news?
Well, now that we have examined where we're at with the Phantom Night 1 theory, our next piece of Bachelor Nation news involves Caitlin Bristow.
Caitlin Bristow was on the 19th season of The Bachelor, Chris Soules, and then she was our 11th Bachelorette.
She has 1.8 million followers, and she's currently making a deep, deep run on Dancing with the Stars. And this past week, on October 24th, Miss Bristow, Bachelor Royalty, released her second original single, Good for Somebody. Not coincidentally, this was her boyfriend Jason Tardik's birthday. What a present. Hey, baby, for your birthday, I'm going to release my song. What do you think about that? She also put out a video where she forces Tardik to purchase the song for 99 cents on Spotify. This is a follow-up to her first single, If I'm Being Honest, which reached number 2 on the iTunes charts and has over a million streams on Spotify. This song has debuted at number 7 on the iTunes charts. So it seems like Miss Bristow is carving out a legitimate music career here. Is she going to win a fucking Grammy?
Yes.
Best new artist?
Yes.
Cool. Good talk.
I mean, this, her songs are catchy. They're, she's doing it. She's still on Dancing with the Stars. I don't know how long she'll be on it. Is she going to win?
I don't know, but this is something we have long talked about. Who is going to be the first Bachelor player to really crack into mainstream success in terms of another kind of artistic career? Rachel Lindsay is doing the kind of host thing, the mouthpiece, the, like, she's not acting, she's not writing, she's not singing, she's just on camera a lot. And that is certainly legitimate. But this other step into being like, I'm a fucking artist, I'm a performer, that is fascinating to me. And I think right now, Caitlin Bristow is in the lead for possibly really doing it.
I think she will. Our third piece of Bachelor Nation news is Date Card Pod is now reporting on Claire Crawley's liked tweets. A Twitter user named Mary2 Sangare issued a series of skeptical replies to some recent promo tweets from the official Bachelorette Twitter account. And Date Card Pod has discovered that Claire Crawley has liked them. We will read those to you now. Tweet 1. They had Tayshia quarantined 9 days after Claire started filming. They wanted to remove Claire, and I just don't think it's fair. Tweet 2. And I really feel like they are giving her a bad edit. Parens, just my opinion. They are feeding into the narrative and the rumors and making it seem like it was Claire's decision that this ended, and I feel like that's not the case. Tweet 3. Production knows exactly what they were doing. They never had a lead, just quit. And with how excited and how bad Claire wanted this, I doubt it. They were ready with a backup, and as soon as they found out that Claire was into Dale, it was a wrap. Tweet 4. Production has control over literally everything. They know what they're doing. Tweet 5. Don't you see how the last 2 episodes have been produced? There's no drama, and the drama that they've shown has been dramatized and fixated to make Claire look a certain type of way. These likes are helping to fuel this narrative that's now forming in Bachelor Nation that it was the producers who pushed Claire out all along. The producers are maintaining that it was Claire who tanked her own season through actions that were completely her own choices, which we know cannot be true based on what we've already seen this season. Dale Moss is being forced on her. The other guys are literally being removed from situations where they might have the chance to form relationships with her. Tayshia was already out there quarantining before Claire decided to leave. The producers pushed her out. This is how they treat their leads. Claire is confirming this with these likes.
We saw it with Pee-Pee. How badly they whipped him around. We saw it with Colton. How they openly mocked him and his bad kissing. Even if you're a lead, if you don't do exactly what they want you to do, they will fucking sink you. And that seems to be what they're doing to Claire now. Rob
Clues. A Mother's Day is coming up.
That's true.
You know, that's one of the most important holidays. We got to honor our mothers. They all went through a lot to get us here into this planet. And the gifts for Mother's Day, they can be a little predictable and boring. Sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. You only need one bathrobe, in my opinion. That's why Aura Frames is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected. They come with unlimited storage. You can share as many photos as you want from your phone to your mom's frame. Not only is she going to be grateful that it's not just another sweater for Mother's Day, she's also going to love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you. Or in my case, she gets to see more of my cat, Skaboolian. My mom loves seeing him rolling around, playing with his toys, doing whatever, and I can upload as many images of him as I want every day, and my mom gets to see them in her Aura frame and then text me about it for all the rest of the day. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Everybody listening to Game of Roses can save on that perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ROSES at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Clues. I quit bras during the pandemic. I said, no more. They're not comfortable. I'm being comfy as a lifestyle. And I couldn't picture a bra that would exist that I would want to wear. But today's sponsor, Honeylove, has revolutionized the bra game. They don't have underwire. They don't have bulky fabrics. And they are so soft. Basically feels like a second skin, which is the only type of bra I will be wearing in the year of our gore 2024. Mm-hmm. I got the crossover bra, the black runway one. It has this cute like mesh that adds peekaboo mesh that adds this very sexy touch. So it's like, doesn't look like it's, you know, a comfortable bra, but it is. And I guess I'm a bra person again, it turns out.
Well, congrats, Pace Case. I know it's a big step for you. Right now, you can treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/roses. Use that exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/roses. After you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support Game of Roses and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Clues, you know, I'm on my year of health, 2024. I'm trying to really focus on that. You know, I've got my career in order. I've got, you know, other aspects of my life, but I eat badly and I take care of myself badly. But that is changing now. I have discovered Lumi. Lumi is a game-changing whole-body deodorant designed by an OBGYN to work not only on pits, but also feet, privates, and everywhere else we get odor. I use their wipes. I use their, they have a traditional deodorant stick too, which I use, a lovely coconut smell about it. And no matter where you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long, all thanks to its one-of-a-kind pH-optimized formula. They have over 275,000 five-star reviews to show for it.
It's baking soda free, it's paraben free, it's pH balanced for safe use below the belt, clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. 12 hours after a shower, the average person has an odor level of 6 out of 10. Did you know that?
That's
a
disgusting.
High level. With Lumi, the average odor level is, guess what? 0 out of 10.
Yes.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice. You could get mini body wash, you can get deodorant wipes, whatever you want, and free shipping. And as a special offer for everyone listening right now, new customers are going to get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code ROSES at LumiDeodorant.com. That's LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off the starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use that code ROSES.
Mills, appearing on Vial Files this week, said that the moment they knew they had to replace Claire was when she gave herself the rose. I'm sorry. Tayshia was already there.
Tayshia was already there. And clearly the producers got her to give herself the rose.
And this is really all that Claire can do. Because she signed an ironclad contract saying she can't reveal any of this fucking shit for at least 2 years. Who knows? Maybe even longer. Maybe the contracts are worse now. So all she can do is like tweets of people that are fucking revealing the truth.
Liking tweets?
I'm sure that's going to be in the contract soon enough. If it wasn't already.
Yeah. You know? The Claire clause to follow up the Jed clause on not having a girlfriend.
But this feud that is developing now between Claire and the producers is something we're going to be tracking closely for the next probably 2 years. And it is starting here with these liked tweets, and her exit is going to be interesting too, to see how they cut that together next week. I think it's not going to be favorable for her.
I mean, they are already ramping up this villain edit for her, showing that scene where she's talking to the producers and being like, can we just not do the rest of this party? Can we hurry it up? I already had my DM time is like such a villain edit.
Speaking of villain edits, our next piece of Bachelor Nation news involves the greatest villain in the game's history, the Dark Lord himself, Chris Harrison. This week, Chris Harrison launched a collection of custom wedding rings with a company called Manly Bands. On Wednesday, he promoted it on his Instagram account. So Harrison is now selling products and getting personalized endorsement deals. He's stepping into SponCon in a way that we haven't really seen yet from him. Prior to this, it was a tag here, a tag there, a Crest White Strip ad every once in a while. And those Crest White...
Seagrams.
Usually those things are attached to the show in some way. But now he has this signature line of wedding bands that have different inlays of metals and woods. And it's a way to make your wedding band more unique, supposedly, than just the standard platinum or white gold band. And his name is on it. Darklord Harrison has a pretty big parasocial following, 1.2 million followers that he's now direct marketing these products to. I'm very curious if we start seeing on social media people posting pictures with their manly bands.
I think we will. I think whoever buys them and tags DLH in their stories, that's going to get reposted.
Now, we've seen on The Bachelor and Bachelorette, much is made of the moment when the demon Neil Lane enters our beloved game to let people gaze upon his precious sparklers. Will we start to see a flip side of that where the guys get to choose their own manly bands?
I feel like... Manly Bands needs to be bigger in order to get that spot.
DLH can make it bigger.
We'll see what he can do.
I'm curious. I think we may see a Manly Band in our beloved game very soon. Maybe he's even going to be wearing one. Maybe Lauren Zima will give him one.
Oh, yes. That would be a great play for him. Propose with a Manly Band.
Speaking of great plays, that wraps up this week in Bachelor Nation News, and now we are moving on to that portion of our show where we discuss all of the tweets, the posts, the likes, the comments, everything that the top players in our beloved game are doing out in the parasocial world on their social media accounts. This is...
The Parasocial Play of the Week.
Our first nominee for Parasocial Play of the Week goes to the male player who gained the most Instagram followers this week. Of course, I'm talking about Dale Moss. After some photos surfaced earlier this week of Dale Moss posing for Party City costumes dressed as a taco, a gladiator, and Superman, Dale Moss made a culturally relevant meme of himself. It was a split screen playing on the how it started, how it's going meme that's going around. And the first image was him in the Superman costume on the website, cheesing it up. And then the second image is him in the Superman suit today. Caption, quote unquote, Dale with it. This post had 27.9 thousand likes. I thought it was... He got this out very soon after these photos surfaced. It was a quick parasocial play. It was relevant to the current internet culture. Just a fantastic play by Dale Moss. I am continuously impressed by what he's doing on Instagram.
I love this play. It reminded me very much of when AOC started getting attacked for her old dance video, and then she made a new one in her fucking office and was like, yep, fuck you, that's right. I had this old video surface of me where I was dancing. You can't make fun of me for it. Dale Moss is doing the same thing here. He's like, that's right, motherfuckers. I was a Party City model. And look at this shit. You know, he just owns it.
I look good doing it.
Turns it into a joke and is basically like, fuck you. Find it funny all you want. Give me 50,000 followers.
And we did.
This next parasocial play was not a huge play, but I noticed it and I made a video about it that's on my Instagram right now. This is, of course, an Instagram story posted by Sleuths, Hannah Ann Sluss. She's in a kitchen. She's making some cookies. She's showing us how to make them. At one point, she says, I rolled the dough, I cut the dough, and I'm going to make about, and she holds this pan of cookies toward the camera and says, I'm going to make about 4 cookies. There are clearly 5 cookies on the tray. Again, I'm going to make about 4 cookies. There are clearly 5 cookies on the tray. Many people thought this was just kind of innocuous and funny, a little cute mistake on her part. But I maintain It's far more sinister. This is the Orwellian dissolution of facts. I don't know if you've ever read 1984, but in this book, it takes place in what would have then been a future, 1984. And it takes place in this authoritarian regime where the party in control has complete control over everyone in the country, including down to the finest granular detail of what you think. And there's a very famous scene in it where a party leader is talking to the main character who is starting to see that all of this shit is lies. And the party leader holds up five fingers and says, "How many fingers am I holding up?" And the main character, Winston, says, "I see five fingers." And the party leader goes, "How many fingers am I holding up?" And he has to say four. He has to say something that is not fucking true. So
you think Sluice's kookies are inspired by this?
Not at all. Sluice has never read 1984. She doesn't know any of this shit. But the thing that is happening now in this dissolution of facts, it's not happening like it did in 1984 under the threat of a fucking hard-nosed authoritarian regime that's going to put you in a fucking gulag and retrain you if you don't say the right fucking thing. It's that now it's happening because we don't think it's serious. We're allowing it to happen to ourselves. In 1984, by the way, there is this figure called Big Brother, who is a made-up character that watches over you all, and it has a kind of panoptic effect on people's behaviors. That character is one of the most sinister and cautionary entities in all of fucking literature. We have literally turned it into the title of a harmless, innocuous reality TV show. This idea that these things that were threats to free thought, to just basic fucking freedom, we have now turned them into like what we consider to be harmless, guilty pleasures. And this to me was just another piece of evidence of that. It's not perceived as real or important. We're accepting the loss of objective truth in society as frivolous entertainment, something to fucking laugh at.
I want to play devil's advocate for a second, but I am scared to.
Please.
Perhaps the fifth cookie was blocked from view by the fourth cookie.
Have you seen the video? She's looking right at them. No, yeah. No, that is absolutely but not true.
From her point of view, the fifth cookie could be blocked from view.
Okay, so let's say she makes the video and then sees that she misspoke. Yeah. Wouldn't she just remake the video? It would take 10 seconds.
I don't think she sees that she misspoke. She's like, yeah, this looks good. I look cute. That's probably what is going through her head.
Whatever's going through her head. I don't think she's actively like, I'm
going
to...
Correct filter.
Yeah, I don't think she was telling herself, like, I'm going to trick all of my followers. I'm going to get them to say it's four cookies too. I don't think she's doing it maliciously. I'm saying, like, we all accept it. The audience accepted
it. This should be your scream from the pit. I mean, God.
What? It's just an analysis. This is no scream.
You're screaming. You're screaming loud.
All right. Well, look, take it for what you will. To me, that's what I saw in it. That we are all now accepting of, like, the sliding of truth as something that's funny, something that's entertaining, not a threat at all.
Sluice, we await your rebuttal on clickbait.
Please get us on clickbait. I need to have this conversation with her.
I don't even know how to move on from that. I don't even know how this podcast moves on from what you've just said.
While these two parasocial plays were certainly important, of course, the winner, the only parasocial play that stood out this week as unbelievable, of course, goes to the queen herself, Hannah Brown. She posted an Instagram image of herself, nude, from behind, in a pool, looking out at the ocean, with just a hint of her butt above the water.
The old Hannah can't come to the phone right now. She's dead. This is a Taylor Swift reference. Clues.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't
know. This post has 342,984 likes at the time of this recording and 3,169 comments. Excellent engagement. I couldn't believe it when I saw this image. I was like, Hannah is like calling out to Bachelor Nation. She's like, you guys, you're focused on Claire. Remember me. Here is my ass. I am in a new era. I am the new Hannah Brown. I am sexy. I'm in a mystery place. We don't even know where this is shot. She's looking at the ocean. I don't even know if it's in America. You're going to get a million comments. It's going to be, you know, calling Tyler Cameron. There's going to be a million of those jokes. It's just such a good play. And it doesn't even take that much work. You're only showing a sliver of ass.
But this is shot by a photographer. This is all a setup. She's doing this very much on purpose. And it reminded me quite a bit of when a young Miley Cyrus emerged with some of her new music and her new look, and it was hyper fucking sexualized, and she's like, I'm an adult now, motherfuckers. Not that Hannah Brown wasn't before, but I agree with you. There's this idea with celebrity that if you start out in something like a little bit squeaky clean, like Miley Cyrus was Disney, and now you need to separate from that, and you're doing more adult, more mature shit. Hannah Brown is doing that here. She's stepping out of the bachelor world and into a more like, I'm a celebrity in my own right. I can make my own decisions and I can show my ass if I want to. Fantastic fucking move. It really, to me, launched her in a new direction, at least in terms of how she's going to be perceived in the parasocial world. And like you're saying, it couldn't have come at a better time. The Bachelorette's in fucking disarray. Claire Crawley, whether it's her fault or not, is destroying the fucking show. And Hannah Brown is like, over here, guys, I'll give you what you want. Perfect.
Wasn't retweeted by the president, but still pretty huge.
So congratulations to Hannah Brown on winning this week's Parasocial Play of the Week. And now we come to that time of this show where Pace Case and I descend deep into the darkest recesses of the pit to scream as loud as we can about why we are still chained to this show and the pain it causes us. And this week we will, of course, be joined once again by Shoya. This is
Screams from the Pit!
This week on Screams from the Pit, we are once again joined by Shoya from Relationship Hero, a relationship coach. If you are having trouble with a relationship of any kind, if you are in dating, you're married, you're single, any types of relationships that you're having, Relationship Hero coaches can help you with that. If you go to relationshiphero.com/GOR, you can get $50 off your first coaching session.
And each of their relationship coaches is certified and backed with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So it's zero risk. You got nothing to lose, everything to gain. So Shoya, thank you once again for joining us here in the deepest corners of the pit.
Yeah, I'm here again.
Shoya does not sound like a prisoner at all. It should be noted.
Yep, did you watch this week, by the way? No. Do you know anything that happened this week?
Absolutely not.
Holy shit. Okay.
Does this mean that something happened? Is there tea to be served?
I'm going to have to give you some contextual information when I do my scream. I'll just say that much.
My scream this week, it involves a text I received from a friend who will remain anonymous. She texted me, is there a new Bachelorette? I said, where have you been? She said, I just watched the last episode last night. And at the end, there was a shot of a new girl. The feeling that I had when I received this series of texts was so insane. For some context, we've watched 3 episodes with Claire as the Bachelorette. This woman, Tayshia, is coming in to replace her. We've known about this for months. This is an event that Clues and I have been talking about and screaming about for months on end. I've looked at this transition from every angle, read everything that exists on the internet about it. She didn't know about the Tayshia replacement. She didn't even know who Tayshia was. And this naivete was astounding to me. I used to have it. And this sent me into this other world where I fantasized about being like my friend. She's just trying to connect with me about The Bachelor. But I have spun so far out of control. I'm in so deep, I don't even know how to talk to normal people about this. And I'm just like, okay, I don't know where to begin. Tayshia was a player on The Bachelor. She came on Bachelor in Paradise. She's been set up to replace Claire for months. I mean, she's going to be the first Black player to hit 1 million Instagram followers, it looks like.
Ooh.
I am so jealous, but also in a way not jealous of this friend. I'm like, you don't even know how important this is.
I'm picking that up. This is important. Like, this, like I'm like, okay, I got the
cold. This has never happened
events.
Before.
So
I'm guessing you didn't hear about the replacement.
I'm about as naive as your friend. So might be having a little, this could be triggering for you. Totally holding space for that. It's all good if you're having a relapse of that moment. If in my defense, I did kind of say that I was clueless. So you may feel a little prepared for my cluelessness. Yeah. But what were you jealous of? Like,
I was jealous of just like, I was thinking about all of my time and energy that has gone into thinking about this event to just not have that, to just have been freed up to live on this world and frolic in fields, which is what I assume you do when you're not in the pit.
Okay. That's what we like to do, like in our free time, is frolic in fields and whatnot, you know.
Yeah.
Curly hair and all, sunny. There's Celtic music playing in the background, fairies. Whole nine yards.
That's what I picture.
Totally what
life
we're doing.
Is like outside of this place.
That's a nice vision to have. We should all have something to aspire to. Probably, though, if you wouldn't be obsessed with this, you'd just be obsessed with something else. Like, I'm pretty sure your friend has her own obsessions and things that she fully knows about that maybe you're not that. I mean, I think like everybody has their thing. So it's just.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like this.
She's into cats.
That's something to be into. I'm not here to judge. Whatnot, whatever, you know, brings you peace at night. Hey, yeah, I get it. But I feel like there's this idea that, oh, if I wasn't doing this, I'd have time. And it's kind of like, I say the same thing about money. Like, oh, if I didn't spend my money here, I'd have, like, nope, I'd probably just spend it over here. So time, money, energy, just because you're not investing it.
You're saying this is the best place for my energy.
I didn't say that, but I
hear you. Okay. I can read between the lines.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, well, if that's what we're receiving, that's somewhere, you know, somewhere closer to peace for you. And that's exactly what I'm here for.
If I may also offer, I've had this exact same thing happen to me many times with other friends who are casual viewers of The Bachelor, and they come to me with some piece of information that was known months ago that conveys some rudimentary understanding of a thing that we now understand better than anyone on planet Earth. This is simply the price of expertise. You can no longer indulge people who are not at least aware of your expertise. It's like asking a fucking brain surgeon how to put on a Band-Aid. A brain surgeon's going to be like, yeah, I guess I can tell you that, but like, what's the fucking point? I'm operating on human brains, you know? I have thought about this a long time. And certainly I know what you're talking about too, the lamenting of that other version of yourself that wasn't this deep in the pit. But I'm okay putting that self to rest for all time. That self is dead and buried, and in its place is a fucking highly evolved new version of myself.
The old Clues is dead. She can't come to the phone right now.
Exactly.
There you go.
But the new Clues,
a little Taylor reference.
I feel like it's
yes.
To me, it's a valid trade-off. The expertise, the level of understanding that we have, does come with cost. It isolates us from people who can't get to this level.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm here for that. So the piggyback off of that, if a part of you is dead and gone, I do suggest having some metaphorical funeral for her, right? I don't think you got to say goodbye. I think we need to mourn her because she's not coming back. You can't unknow what you know. You know too much. Both of you know way too much. There is not knowing this cannot bring you from that depth, but we can embrace this new version of yourself.
I think there's a part of me still holding on to the old self.
We need to mourn her. We need to maybe write her a little eulogy, you know, go to the fields where the rest of us frolic with our fairies and bury her and say a few words, play a nice song, and embrace who you are now. And look forward to
who you can do a ritual.
Yeah, you do a little ritual. I'm all for that, right? But clues to the cost. I'm curious. Is there such a thing as too expensive? Like, does this
for me?
For any of you, like, is like the cost of this? Is there such a thing as too expensive for whatever this costs you?
No, for me the answer is no. The cost of artistic exploration has no limit.
Ooh,
for me.
Gotcha. I support that.
I have a limit.
Do you see it as artistic exploration, though?
I love artistic exploration, but I also love to take care of myself.
That's important. That's important.
I don't have that impulse.
Yeah.
Well, then.
Which brings me to my scream of the week.
Perfect transition. In case you can't tell, Clues is screaming.
As I'm sure you're well aware, this upcoming week has an event called the American presidential election. Also, we have a new bachelorette emerging on Thursday. Next week's episode of Bachelorette was supposed to air Tuesday. That's election night. So it got moved to Thursday. These two events are literally coinciding in the same temporal space. We've got potentially a new president. We definitely have a new bachelorette. Both of these things mark kind of a turning of a corner in hopefully America and hopefully the bachelorette. And this is something that we have talked about on this podcast forever, that the bachelorette and America, the world, they're intertwined. They are essentially the same thing, the same reality television show. And to me, this has become evidence that is so concrete, I now see them as exactly the same thing, that they are parts of these bigger media engines that convey to us a reality that doesn't actually exist. And I was thinking about it this week to such a detailed level that in the beginning of this, it kind of started as a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek joke on our podcast where I'd be like, it's all connected, blah, blah, blah. But now I'm like, no, it really fucking is. And I'm asking myself, am I going crazy or is it actually connected? And I don't know if we live in a fucking simulation or not, and it doesn't really matter because whatever reality is, it's whatever we perceive it to be. And I'm seeing this as real. I'm seeing the new presidential election and the new bachelorette as the same event. Is that problematic? Should I be trying to pull myself back? Because it's also kind of what I just said to you. Like, I don't see a limit to the cost of artistic exploration. And certainly, I feel this is an artistic exploration. And so I'm willing to go potentially even further until, I don't know, I'm seeing Joe Biden and Tayshia Adams as the same person. Like, is that possible?
If we get there, I would prescribe just a little bit help more than what I could offer. but I don't.
We have reached that point already.
It seems we're on that climb there, but I'm holding hope for the fact that I haven't officially. Let me ask, you don't see Biden and Tayshia as the same person, right?
No, I just see them as very similar pawns in the same kind of media engine that generates our reality right now.
Oh yeah. No, I think that you see what you see and whatnot. Like I jumped down that pit with you there.
Interesting.
Yeah. No, I agree. I like the perspective that you placed on it. I think
so. What is the point that Clues is at that is beyond your purview?
If he sees Tayshia and Biden as the same person, if Tayshia starts writing legislature, then in his head, if he comes and tells me that, then I probably would be like, might want to go talk to somebody.
I think we're going to see a bachelor player pretty soon, actually in American politics, actually writing laws. I think that's within the next 5 years. But we talked earlier in this podcast about Donald Trump just retweeted a bachelor player's music video. So it's starting to merge, you know? in a real concrete way. But these metaphorical ways, these kind of symbolic ways, I'm seeing them everywhere now, especially as we're leading into the election.
But is it new? Because what, like, history tells, like, this is, it's not like new in history, like Reagan or whatnot was at some point not always into the political box, right?
So yeah, he was just an actor.
Right. Or whatnot. So first, that happened. And that was a while ago. So it's not too far. That's not far fetched at all. Actually, that's totally doable. But as far as the two things like coinciding, I can see that. I think that as far as it being problematic, trying to deny it would be problematic. You can't, in the same way that you can't unknow what you know, you can't unsee what you see.
Right.
So it's one of those things that once you open that door, the only way out is through. That
Hell theme. Yes.
There's that theme again, right? So you might as well go follow the little white rabbit through Wonderland and see where it leads you. But I see what you see.
Fantastic.
What do you think about Clues pursuing artistic expression at the detriment of anything else? How do you feel about that?
I mean, I part of me, the statistical, you know, certified textbook part of me goes, maybe that's not the healthiest thing in the world. But the realistic human part of me goes, Van Gogh, like, I'm like checking off all the other artists, right? Van Gogh, Kanye.
All the ones who killed themselves.
Wait, like, you're using Van Gogh and Kanye are the two examples? You're convincing me I should pull back.
Well, look, I'm doing my job. It's effective.
Yeah.
Okay. Killed himself.
Well, but Kanye is still with us or whatnot, and will be here for a while, I'm convinced.
No, I appreciate the advice. And I honestly, like, it's a compulsion. I can't really stop myself from doing it anyway.
Right.
So I feel like I indulge it. I see where it goes in all artistic endeavors. And this one has taken me to some very interesting places psychologically. But I also don't, as you're saying, I don't think this is wrong. It's getting to a level that is, I find it extreme in a way that I'm kind of questioning at this point because it's Bachelor-centric. And I still have this little piece of me holding on that's like, The Bachelor's just some dumb reality TV show, dude. Even though I know it's not. I'm now fully aware that, like, the things I say on this podcast, I firmly believe it is the most accurate reflection of American culture. It's a piece of American culture. It's spawned by contemporary American culture. I believe all of that. But there's still some piece of me that's not willing to totally let go of the notion that it's like, it's just fucking reality TV. And I have to get rid of that eventually to fully go through.
I don't know.
I wouldn't let go of that anytime soon. That's my professional advice. I think it's like, it's kind of like I tell people all the time, like when they say anxiety is a horrible thing, I'm like, yeah, it's pretty sucks, but follow me here. Was there for a reason. Like, fight or flight mode is there for a reason for all of us. We're supposed to feel fear. It's what keeps us alive. It's what keeps you from, you know, jumping off of that cliff or what, you know, just whatever it is, it's healthy. It has a purpose. Now, obviously, it can be distorted into unhealthy mannerisms, but its original core function has a purpose. So that little voice that wants to say, this is just television, I think is just trying to keep you grounded, right? Like, like, you know, just a little grounded. Like, Right. Yeah, you can fly, but come back until you learn how to land. Let's just.
I've never heard the word grounded used with Clues' name.
First time for everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, right. I think the healthy part here is that you're aware of it. I'm like, I'm weary of people who aren't aware of, like, the degree. It's kind of like you're aware. You're clearly aware. So I think that's kind of like, what was the Leonardo DiCaprio movie with, like, the twisty thing or whatnot? And that's how they use
Inception.
That, like, I think you need to have that, right? You need to have your thing that
I have my top,
whatever it is that helps you.
Yeah.
That world that you're in and reality.
Right.
Or relation.
Whatever. I have to find my icon that brings me back.
Yeah. You need all that. Right.
Oh my God. We'll get a squirrel top.
Yeah. Well, look, thank you, Shoya, once again for joining us in the pit. This has been Very helpful. We learned that Pace Case is losing friends left and right, and we learned that I am grounded. Very grounded. I'm aware of everything, and nothing I'm doing is a problem.
We need to get this icon stat.
For the record, I am not enabling this. I can't control what the client does with the information. I'm just here to give the information.
We appreciate it.
We appreciate it.
And hopefully you will come back once again next week after we've had our election and we have a new bachelorette. God. We're going to have some very interesting screams for you. But thank you as always. And anyone out there listening, you can once again go to relationshiphero.com/GOR to get $50 off your first session with any number of their certified relationship coaches that come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Thank you, Shoya. If you guys are wondering how you can best support Game of Roses in our journalistic endeavors, the number one way would be to subscribe to our Patreon, www.patreon.com/GameOfRoses. This is where we're posting at least 2 bonus episodes every month, doing a monthly live stream. We might be dropping in some additional mystery content in there as well.
And just to let you know, whatever you enjoy about what we do now, whether it's the Patreon, whether it's these 2 episodes we put out, whether it's the memes, the videos, all the stuff that we do in service of the pit, if you enjoy that level of it, the more Patreon subscribers we get, the higher that level goes, because the next step of Game of Roses is expansion. I want to be able to turn out more shit because I have more ideas, but it's just me and Pace Case right now. We ain't got the facilities.
We need to hire someone.
I'm just saying.
We need to hire someone, and the pit will provide.
The pit will provide, eventually. Not right now. It's not providing right now, per se, but the pit will provide. I am firmly confident in that. And we're just trying to get this project to the next level, to the next step in its growth. And Patreon is the best way to help us do that. And I think you'll all be very pleased with the results of that next step, should we be able to get to it.
Our next Patreon episode drops on Monday. It's going to be a perfect piece of media.
And thank you again for all the continued tidbits that you're sending in. There are so many tidbits now. I get a million tidbits a day. I read them all. I weave them into a rich tapestry in my mind. I really love the tidbits.
That's clear. That's clear that you are pure tidbit at this point.
I am tidbit.
So yeah, keep sending those pitbits to Clues. He loves to feast on them. Thank you for your continued support of our goal to get on Clickbait. Again, only positive reviews, please, for Clickbait. Do not give them negative reviews on our behalf. Hopefully we can get on Clickbait soon and Clues can have that conversation with the sluice about her pretending like she has 4 cookies when she only has 5 cookies.
My first question to her will be, have you ever read 1984 by George Orwell?
So, Sluice, if you're listening, you have that to look forward to.
And good luck to everybody out there in the coming week. This is the last time we will talk to you before we have a new America. Good luck to us all. Stay safe. Yeah. And before we go, what is that dwab at?
It has been 6,793 days without a Black Bachelor. Praise be Lord Harrison.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water,
15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.